This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
3 hours? I think 3 hours till Jack and Bill speak. Trace
you
Ortas.
For me?
Did you say Trace Ortas?
Tres horas.
Trace Ortas. Okay, 3 hours. There you go. You like that, Figgy? I'm getting better. I want it to be a real freestyle because I think there's a lot of people that would be skeptical. So you got to give me three topics to get into the freestyle about Jack and Bill because I don't want to, like, you know, people to think that I was, like, writing it during the break or something.
Oh, so a topic on it?
You got to give me three topics, dude.
All right, three topics on Jack and Bill.
You give me the first, and then when I'm in the middle, you just throw the topic at me.
Okay, the first one.
So when I'm in the middle of it, you say something else, and then I go.
All right, so the first topic is going to – you're going to start with Jack and Bill and DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, my gosh. Jack and Bill want someone to read a book. So they traded for – Brandon Cooks, man of the word of God, like Easter Bee, traded DeAndre Hopkins for freaking pennies.
Social distancing.
Social distancing. Easter Bee's been working. Bill O'Brien on the Zoom, cussing and jerking. That picks on you, he said, in the third round. Bill O'Brien getting mad, grunting. John McClain making sounds.
The Zoom.
Yes, we're messing around. Most polarizing guy in H-Town. Loopholes say he has a butt chin. I think that's pretty mean. Doing everything in the best interest of the T-E-A-M team.
Atta baby. Good, strong finish.
All right. Chiefs running back Damian Williams opts out 6 weeks before the Texans take on the Chiefs. Could have been the Super Bowl MVP. Probably should have been. Damian Williams not playing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Probably going to go first round of your fantasy draft. Big deal or not a big deal, OG?
Kind of both. I think it's a big deal because this is a guy that is really, really good. He's not the best back option they have, I don't think, anymore. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But they had a lot of confidence in him. And he produced on the biggest stage you could possibly have in sports, at least in team sports, and that would be the Super Bowl. So it's a big deal that way. Not as big deal because of the dude I just mentioned, and I feel like the Chiefs are going to have the pick of the litter, so to speak, of any other running back that becomes available.
Devontae Freeman going there as a backup wouldn't be a bad choice.
That's
for
what
him.
I'm saying.
I think at this point he's getting minimum money because he apparently didn't want to play for much, but now he's pretty desperate. I mean, it could be Devontae Freeman instead of Williams. I'm not going to say that's an upgrade because Williams knew their system and whatnot, but Freeman's had some good years. He'd go to Kansas City, chase a ring, and get to play in that Andy Reid offense. Titans offensive outside linebacker Vic Beasley hasn't reported to camp. Per ESPN, he hadn't even been in contact with the Titans to let them know why. But John Robinson, the GM, spoke today and said it's an inexcused absence, but he expects Beasley to be there. What is going on here?
When we talked about this, you and I, earlier, my initial inclination was, not much to see here. I'm sure they know something. Even if they haven't talked with him, maybe an agent or another player gave them the information. But now I'm kind of changing my mind on that. I think he's kind of rattling the cage a little bit. We expect him here. In other words, if there's any, you know, gripe that he has, whether it's salary or anything else, they're not going to play that ball game. You know, they're in it. They expect him. I think they're kind of pushing him a little bit.
Boy, if they don't have Beasley, they already let Jarrell Casey walk. I don't know how good that defense is. Really, they lost Dean Pease, too, who might be the most important piece, their defensive coordinator. Vrabel might call the defense. Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. I think Tennessee's offense is going to be much improved this year, which is hard to believe because Ryan Tannehill had one of the top three best QBRs in NFL history last year. And Derrick Henry, my gosh, he looks like a Madden create a player just running through cats. But with their receivers that Tannehill's familiar with, specifically A.J. Brown in year two, I think their offense is going to be good. But I think there are some question marks about that Titans defense. Some very, very big question marks about the Titans defense, the team that went to the AFC Championship last year. So keep an eye on that. DeAndre Hopkins, no longer with us. He is not dead. He is in Arizona, and he is the eighth best player in the NFL, according to the NFL 100 list that players vote on every year, that players go crazy when watching.
Would you like a top 10 player on your squad, yes or no?
Is it in the best interest of the team?
The TEAM? I don't see – how can a top 10 player not be in the best interest of a team?
He wanted a new contract.
And you saw, of course, some of the peers that were in the top 10 of his. Pretty darn impressive.
Oh, gosh. We just lucked out, J-Lo. We just lucked out.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Woo! My goodness. I love when something good happens to me. No, DeAndre Hopkins hasn't been traded, although it was about this time when it happened. So, no, there's nothing bad for you Texans fans. There's some good news for all the loopholes out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Jack and Bill press conference has been moved. It is not going to be at 4 o'clock today. It's going to be. You ready?
Oh, I know what I think. I think I know
what
you're going to say.
You ready?
I think I know.
You ready?
I think I know. I'm ready.
What better way to celebrate Football Friday than hearing from Jack and Bill at 11 a.m. on In the Loop tomorrow?
How about that? It's going to be a full hour, dude.
Woo! This is going to be fun.
It's going to be Bill O'Brien around about 10:45 and Jack Easterby at 11:30.
Wow.
You like that?
Wow.
You like that?
Tomorrow,
do you like apples?
Baby. Tomorrow, baby. Easterby and B.O.B. What did Easterby say the other day? Do the next right thing?
Yeah.
That's from Frozen 2. What Disney movie should he quote tomorrow?
Oh,
I know what he's going to say. He's going to talk about how he's inexperienced. And he's going to say that he watches other GMs and he watches what other GMs do and he watches how they succeed, how they walk, how they run, how they play all day in the sun. Watch and you'll see. He wants to be part of that world.
Just do the next right thing.
What if he's quoting Ariel from Little Mermaid and all these Disney quotes? And then I ask him, and then somehow I get in the Zoom meeting and I go, Mr. Easterby, what about the DeAndre Hopkins trade? And he just goes, let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Oh, my God.
What if I asked Easterby, hey, you always seem to be very positive. What is the key to you always having such a positive attitude? I mean, the job that you have, it requires a lot of scrutiny, Mr. Easterby. What is your mindset? What is your motto to have such a good mindset? And he goes, Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna I'm trying to think of another one here.
What if I asked Easterby, hey, Jack, let's be honest, dude. I've said this on the show 100 times, Mr. Easterby. You got a longer shelf life than Bill O'Brien. Like, we know King Bill, you know, we know that he's been in charge for a while, and we call him King Bill and all that stuff. You're the real guy in charge here, right? Like, you're going to outlast Bill O'Brien. And then Jack Easterby would go, I just can't wait to be king.
What about Jack? You're asking him about, you know, how you've lost a star player and you don't have a lot of stars outside of J.J. Watt on the defense. You know, what do you think of your lineup? And he's going to sing the Bare Necessities. It's just the Bare Necessities.
Dude, I'm running out. I don't have any more Disney steam. I'm sorry. I'm out of it. But I'm sure the text line has plenty of ideas. I have no idea. No idea what to go on. We're still getting Fire Bill O'Brien texts. We were getting those during Astros postgame yesterday. What are we doing here? Like, is that the new thing? I got probably like 7 Fire Bill O'Brien texts yesterday during Astros postgame.
That's incredible.
And it wasn't from the same guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. Yeah.
Is Dusty Baker now, is that, did they think like we did that Dusty Baker, Bill O'Brien, the game yesterday?
Well, that's probably what it was, and you just reminded them. You reminded them that they want Bill O'Brien fired.
6688 says, you should ask Easterby about life without DeAndre Hopkins, and he will say, it's a whole new world.
Oh my goodness. Gosh.
Let's get out of here. This is around the NFL. I don't know what we're doing, but Jack Easterby, I do know this. Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien, less than 22 hours. They're going to be on our airwaves. You better believe we're excited for that. We're excited for you to get to experience it. And let's be honest, us reacting to it right after, what more could you ask for on a football Friday?
Oh, man. Right there as it's happening.
Let's just keep it 100. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Figgy, you're disgusted with me this segment, aren't you? Yeah, okay. That says enough.
That's pretty much it.
Your silence says enough. An unexpected ally for the Houston Astros. There's a lot of chatter going on, and someone came to the Astros' defense. I think he's the most credible voice that you could have heard. Hear what he said next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 1:30. I threw this on J-Lo just quickly. John Lopez is going to put together a sitcom local athletes and coaches at 1:30. 1:30, John Lopez is going to have a sitcom. He's going to have a theme song. He's going to have characteristics, roles, all that stuff. It's going to be awesome. I promise you it's going to be awesome. You do not want to miss that. How confident are you that you're going to come through here, J-Lo?
79% confident it will be a smash hit.
Okay. Some bad sitcoms are actually good, though, because they're so bad they're good. So we'll see what happens. 1:30, the J-Lo sitcom. But the Astros, they're the main topic nationally. They are an A topic around the country. And they have a lot of people taking shots at them. But they had a surprising ally yesterday. And I got to tell you, of all the people that have had opinions about the Astros and all the potential opinions, this is the one I respect the most. I know he's a polarizing figure, but when it comes to baseball, I think Chris Mad Dog Russo of Mad Dog Radio, Sirius XM, and MLB Network, I think his baseball opinion, while it's often intense, while he
How did
earned,
he get that nickname
he,
again?
He earned it. You'll see. You'll hear it. While I think it's always intense, J-Lo, I think he does have a good grasp of baseball. Would you agree with that?
Oh, he's one of the best minds out there. Opinions, I should say.
Here is his opinion about the Astros and the suspension to Kelly, the 8-game suspension handed down to Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly, I'm going to have to, who wasn't even on the 2017 team. This is the guy that the Dodgers are going to throw out there to send a message to the Houston Astros? Really? Joe Kelly, who throws a 3-0 fastball behind Alex Bregman's head, could have killed him. I mean, geez. I mean, who does he think he is, Don Drysdale? And then later on, he's throwing a pitch down by Correa. Correa, you know, basically looked at him, and I tell you, in a ballroom fight, who are you taking, Correa or Kelly? He kind of looks at him, and then Kelly walks off the field and sticks his tongue out like a little baby and, you know, yells and screams at Correa. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Hey, Joe, why don't you, when you're in the clubhouse today, take a loop out of the 10th inning against the Nationals last year in Game 5? I mean, really, a guy on the 2017 Red Sox is going to start doing the Dodger bidding from 2017's World Series against the Astros. This is what we're coming down to. Why don't the Dodgers just be quiet, win ball games, and then in October, show up and win a championship? Please, enough. Joe Kelly, you must be kidding me.
Enough. Like, sounds like he wants to punch somebody.
What'd you think of his actual take, though?
Oh, I mean, sure, absolutely. I agree.
I think he actually kind of brought it, man. I agree with what he's saying. I agree with everything that he is selling, to say the least. Here was Dusty Baker talking about the punishments handed down by Joe Kelly, which you just heard Mad Dog Russo. Astros don't have a lot of people defending him. That's the only level of defense you're going to hear. You're going to hear a lot of criticism coming up. We're going to react to it and try to analyze it. But before we do, here's the skipper, Dusty Baker, talking about the punishment handed down to Joe Kelly.
You know, I didn't think nothing about it, actually. You know, I mean, this is, you know, the game is first and foremost. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, you know, regardless of, you know, what my opinions are. So, you know, I think that, you know, the punishments were fair.
He says the punishments were fair. Jeff Passan of ESPN, I mean, he's exposed himself as just a new age, clout chasing, thirsty for retweets, dorky doofus is what he's exposed himself as lately. This was him talking about the anticipation of what could happen to Joe Kelly before the suspension was actually handed down.
Now, I'm not saying that this was unquestionably intentional, because remember, Joe Kelly's a guy who has had troublesome control. That being said, this did not look good. Is Major League Baseball really going to come in and penalize Joe Kelly or penalize anyone on either of these teams for clearing the benches simply because it's running afoul of the protocol that the league has in place? There is a possibility that we could see discipline, but it's going to be hard considering Bregman and Correa were not hit.
This was one of the worst things you'll hear about it. Because just everything that has happened, you know, that we know Major League Baseball is doing because of this, because of the Joe Kelly, and they're trying to nip it in the bud. You can't defend anything about it.
I just don't understand this guy, man. Like, I don't get it. Maybe it's smart because, let's be honest, 99% of Jeff Passan's audience hates the Astros. Yeah. So objectivity, like, it's one thing to do it with someone else, but when that many people hate the Astros, and that's just the reality, people hate the Astros. Like, even people who don't care about baseball, they hate the effing Astros. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just strategic where he knows that he can satisfy 99% of his audience.
Yeah,
so it's
maybe
smart.
Some of it.
So I'll give him that. Like, it's smart. But we're in Houston, and other guys aren't doing it. So, again, maybe it just goes back to the new age clout chasing, but it's just the snarkiness and the bias by Jeff Passan. He can do whatever he wants. He's a successful guy. He's got one of the most prominent positions that there is in baseball. Mm-hmm. But just listen to the way he starts, the way he talks, dude. Like, it's just like a little – I mean, good Lord. I don't
– Now, I'm not saying
– Stop. This was enough. Gosh, I just don't – All right, here's Buster Olney. I need to hear from someone that actually has some integrity, that's not chasing retweets. Buster Olney talking about, of ESPN also, talking about the reaction to the suspension after it actually happened. Buster, Give me some sanity from your network, please.
Within the Dodgers organization, there's absolute outrage and shock over this decision, because an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. Within the Dodgers organization, there's a feeling of, look, he didn't hit Bregman. He actually, in their eyes, didn't even come close to hitting him. And they felt like Dusty Baker was screaming at Kelly in that inning from the Houston dugout. They were absolutely surprised by the length of the suspension, especially because Kelly is a reliever. Rob Manfred said during the wintertime, in so many words, that he was not going to allow open season to be on the Houston Astros. Back in 2017, when all the sign-stealing stuff happened, I think we can look back and criticize Rob Manfred for not drawing a line in the sand and trying to alter the behavior with one big penalty at that time against the Red Sox or the Yankees. Well, in this case, it seems that's what he's trying to do. Alter the behavior and stop teams from throwing at the Houston Astros.
All right.
Well, that's what they're doing.
All right. All right, Buster. I don't get the Dodgers being that upset by this, but okay.
Oh,
I'm
I
sure
do.
We're going to get an appeal.
Yeah, no, well, they already have.
The guy's head, though, J-Lo.
No. Well, you know where I stand on this.
Whose side are you on, man?
You know where I stand on this. You know whose side I'm on this. I'm saying I get the Dodgers, you know, feeling like, oh, man, you know, so now those play. And I even saw some tweets like this, and I'm sure you did too. You know, Joe Kelly's suspension is longer than any Astros player got for stealing signs and stuff like that. That's where they're coming from. And I think they're upset that all Dusty Baker got was the fine, because, you know, he said, get back on the mound. What'd he say? Bleeper?
Little effort.
Yeah.
Get on the mound, little
Ooh, okay. That's what he said. Jacoby from Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN. This is what I'm talking about with the Astros. They don't do baseball topics on that podcast. This is how popular the Astros are right now. Jalen and Jacoby are talking about the Stros, and they got takes. They got takes. They don't usually have takes about baseball, but everybody cares about the Astros right now. You're welcome, baseball. For better or worse, they are must-watch TV. Here is Jacoby talking about Joe Kelly's actions on Tuesday.
Joe Kelly was out there with the glasses. He was giving me real Ricky Vaughn in Major League Wild Thing vibes. Like, he was throwing behind hitters. He was trying to hit people. He was doing it intentionally. You could tell by the way that he was talking to the other team. We all knew that the Astros were going to get thrown at, and they got thrown at. I don't have a problem with them getting thrown at. However, a 3-0 pitch behind somebody at the head level, I do have a problem with where he threw those pitches, not that he threw them at the Astros.
I don't understand that. Like, you either have
kind
a
of rambling,
or you
right?
Don't. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I don't have a problem, but I do have a problem with, like, what are you saying, bro? What are you saying, bro?
Yeah, he's just kind of rambling all over, playing both sides.
I'm just tired of this lame, like, it's okay to throw at somebody's body crowd. Why don't you go stand in front of a 96 mile an hour fastball and tell me that's okay? What are you, Happy Gilmore in the cage getting ready for hockey season?
Exactly.
Like, these people act like it's like just a little slap on the wrist or a paper cut or something like that. Well, it's
no.
Okay to throw at his body. Have you ever been hit by a baseball 96 miles per hour? It's not fun.
Not 96, and it's not fun, I'm sure.
You can throw at his arm, you know, maybe his wrist, you know, whatever, just not his head.
Well, I do believe you should hit lower body if you're going to hit someone. And I might, as much as anything, not for revenge necessarily, although that's part of the, quote, unwritten rules, and I'm certainly that's part of what the Astros were and are expecting to happen to them. I'm just a big advocate of, especially with all these players now wearing these armor elbows and shoulders and wrists, they're much more willing to lean into the inside part of the plate. I'm an advocate of pitchers throwing inside to back those guys off. I'm more for strategic purposes, and sometimes they're going to get hit.
Remember Fernando Vina, how much he just used to lean into it?
Yeah.
Barry Bonds looked like a football player up there, too.
I hate those guys. They have a nickname for him. I don't know if we can say it on the air, though.
What's it start with?
P.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I can follow.
The second word is pad.
I can follow you.
That's what they call them.
There we go.
So, but you get my point on that, right? You can't have these guys wearing armor you know, up and down their side, leaning over the plate more than anybody, you know, ever has in history, and not expect a pitcher to throw inside.
Now, you do need an elbow pad, though. Some, like, have you ever been hit on the elbow?
It's the worst.
You do need an elbow pad, and I
recommend. But back in the day, you had just a regular elbow pad. Now it's from their wrist to their shoulder.
You want to go back in the day now, John?
Back in the day, but now it's to their wrist to the shoulder, and it's like a shoulder pad material.
Back in the day, that's what we're going now. You want them
back in the day?
I mean, geez.
Back in the day,
that's what we're doing. What else are we going to do? What
we're going to do a sitcom.
Let's do a sitcom. I'm pumped for this.
I wrote a sitcom in the last break.
I'm pumped. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The Houston sports sitcom. Courtesy of OG John Lopez. I cannot wait. Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, everybody likes a good sitcom. A lot of people say they don't make them like they used to.
Oh, yeah, they will.
That was then, this is now.
This is now, baby.
John Lopez going to localize it. Without further ado, I present to you the H-Town Sports sitcom from the OG John Lopez.
All right. It's kind of in the vein of Good Times. It's kind of along those lines. The sitcom that I created for our heroes, if you will. It's the name of it is Kind of Good Times. The name of the sitcom. Yep. Kind of Good Times is the name of it. Now, the lead character of this sitcom, kind of in the mold of James Evans, angry, blunt, blue-collar kind of guy, works at a meat plant, and always gripes about things that aren't his job, you know,
Hell
so,
no.
Yeah, it's not his job. You know, he's kind of an angry, blunt, blue-collar guy. The James Evans-ish kind of guy is Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
Yeah. So in Kind of Good Times, obviously, he's going to have a roommate, not a wife. But along the lines of Florida from Good Times is going to be his roommate, older, likable, gray-haired, but has some flaws, always burns the beans, you know, just not the greatest cook, can't quite finish a good meal, is Dusty Baker.
Okay, who's reporting it?
Then there's the lanky son, you know, that lives with them, with Bill O'Brien and Dusty. He always has some kind of catchphrase, you know, like, dynamite! Except his are always kind of inspirational, you know, he's lanky, real energetic, effusive, bubbly. That's going to be Jack Easterby.
Just do the next right thing.
Okay. Now, Angry Bill, Blue Collar Bill, has a... not Blue Collar Bill, Florida. It would be Dusty. Dusty's friend always takes him places like he shouldn't go. Kind of a bad influence on Dusty. Occasionally takes him to the strip club. That would be James Harden.
Sweat!
Then there's the quiet, weird uncle, you know, that pops in every once in a while. Like, his eyes are always darting. Says some funny things, but you don't know if he's serious or not. And it kind of beloved by fans of the new sitcom, Kind of Good Times. That would be Zach Greinke.
Good storytelling skills.
Yeah, just that weird uncle, you know what I mean? And then there's that real, every sitcom has to have a nosy neighbor, right? Goofy, always in your business, always prying, asking questions.
Oh, I know who this is.
What do you
is.
Think about that?
The nosy neighbor would be Mark Berman.
You hear me now? I didn't do anything different.
So there's your cast, and they're always getting into, you know, various hijinks, you know. Angry Bill comes home from work, throws his lunchbox on the counter.
No comment on that.
Talks about how they asked him something else that wasn't his job. You know, old Dusty, likable.
It's not my job.
But the flawed Dusty, you know, tries to cook dinner, has the apron on, but he just doesn't, you know. If he'd have just, you know, cooked the beans a little differently, you know, it might have turned out better. You know, then Easterby pops in every couple of scenes and says, you know,
Max Life at TJ Maxx.
Inspirational dynamite. Live life like you've never lived it before. James Harden pops in from up the hallway. They live in an apartment building, of course.
Is James Harden like Brum, man?
Yeah, he comes in. He's like Malona. You know, he's like Malona. Just a bad influence on
Sweat!
Dusty. Yeah, takes him to the strip club, and Angry Bill is sitting at home, you know, getting angry about things. You know, then there's this one episode that's kind of revolving around the quiet, weird uncle and his plans that he's having, and he's saying some really weird things. But everybody,
silent assassin.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that. And then, of course, through it all, you know, peeking through the window is the nosy neighbor, Mark Berman.
What do you think about that?
Dude. You did better than I expected. And I expected a lot. And that was damn good. By the way, 1212 wants to know, why was it called Good Times? They were getting evicted every damn week.
I know. Well, it's kind of...
They were still having good times.
They were still having good times.
JJ was the best, right?
Well, that's Easterby. Like you could see Easterby doing that, right?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that comes in.
Yeah.
Let's win the day, fellas.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Bill's having another beer.
Let's get it. Bill, his facial expressions are making
Dusty's just like to get together with you, maybe have a beer. And
Dusty's burning the beans. MFing people.
What is the key to cooking good beans, John?
Soak them. I'd soak them for 8 hours.
Say what?
You soak the beans. You have to soak the beans.
For how long?
I do it about 8 hours. Some people do it 3 or 4 hours.
Wait, how long?
8 hours. Try it. I'm serious.
Soak them in what?
Water. I'm 100% serious.
Wait, what?
You get your bag of beans, okay? Put them in a bowl. Pour water over them. And forget about it for about 8 hours. And then you just cook them with your favorite spices, man, and they turn out awesome. Like Mike Meltzer, awesome.
We better off cooking the turkey.
No, but if you know you're going to have beans the next day, just soak them. Now, you can do it 3 or 4 hours.
So beans are an eight-hour process.
Eight-hour soak. You don't do anything. Go watch two ball games.
And cook dinner.
Yeah. Now, you can do it shorter, but
bro,
I like to do it a full 8 hours.
Bro.
What?
That's almost as much as the damn brisket.
Almost. Well, what do I say? Life is too short to eat a bad meal.
Man, you're something else. Something else.
It's like a side dish, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Kind of good times with John Lopez.
Kind of good times.
Figgy Fig here on Sports Radio 610. I didn't have a good time yesterday.
What happened?
I really didn't. Dusty Baker... Cost yeah. The Astros the game.
Burned the beans. That's what I was working on there.
He burned the beans. Three opportunities to bunt the winning run over to third with one out, and he didn't do it, despite the fact that he'd already talked about the strategy. He threw out a football analogy. Dusty Baker went B.O.B. yesterday. He straight up went B.O.B., and he cost the Astros a game that I think would have meant more than just being just another game. Revenge against the Dodgers. You didn't retaliate. It's the first time that Justin Verlander was supposed to be on the bump and missed a start. That would have been one of the games we look back at and said, you know what, this team came together and they capitalized on things at the right time. But they didn't do it because Dusty Baker burned the beans three times in extra innings. Absolute pathetic display of managing by Dusty Baker.
With a capital
P. Display of managing by Dusty Baker. That was awful. That was awful. And we were warned about this. We were warned about this by guys, even guys that like Dusty Baker were warning us about this.
Yeah.
Yesterday was awful. Yesterday was awful. If it had happened once, and I can promise you this, I think you should bunt every time in that situation. But if it would have happened once with Altuve, just with Altuve, I wouldn't be as mad. But you got three cracks at it, John. You got three chances.
Right. No, it was it was inexcusable, to be honest. I know, you know, there may be people, and Adam Spillane is one, or Astros insider, that says, yeah, I don't have a big problem with it. I do. You need one run, man. One run. And if you're going to have confidence in your batters, have confidence with two outs, you know. I mean, with two outs available, not three.
Yeah, that was awful. That was awful. And I think Altuve would have been the best person to bunt there. I think he's the best bunter on the team. Toro, I mean, first and second, no outs. Go ahead, run at second. You don't bunt with Toro? Should have just left Stubbs in if he's the better bunter.
Yeah.
No excuse there either. And now you got the off day. You got Lance McCullers on the bump tomorrow. And then you're going to have Zach Greinke on Saturday. So we'll see what pops. But how about Javier? Javier's got something, J-Lo. That kid's
He really does. He really does. Overwhelming stuff. And you have to keep in mind who he's facing. You know, that wasn't the Mariners. That was maybe the best hitting lineup that they're going to see this year. And just took them down in order at the top of the inning. I mean, at the start of the game. 8 strikeouts, I believe, in his first 11 or 12 batters. Just overwhelming stuff.
I mean, you look back 3 years ago. If you would have taken me back 3-4 years ago and told me that there would be 8 arms making their big league debut this year for the Astros, I would have assumed that one of them would have been the number one prospect in all of baseball at the time, Forrest Whitley. The same guy who Nolan Ryan went and watched in high school, watched him throw a no-hitter. Forrest Whitley nowhere to be seen. Could you imagine what it would be like if Forrest Whitley were still a part of things?
Or lived up to expectations.
Or even was comparable. Yeah. But it's not the case. That's all I'm thinking about yesterday. I'm watching a guy about the same age as Forrest Whitley who hadn't even been to a camp before yesterday. I'm watching him do his thing. And Forrest Whitley's not even on the team. Let me dedicate a song to Forrest Whitley.
We've been hustling a long time and you ain't got none, damn, homie. In high school, you was the man, homie. F*** happened to you, I got the sickest vendetta when it come to the cheddar.
Damn, homie.
Man.
In high school, you was the man, homie.
You know, he started last year, Christian Javier, in A-ball. Class A baseball last year is where he started, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And now he's doing this, and Forrest Whitley can't make a move?
He's in Corpus Christi shagging balls, basically.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He goes from starting last year in A ball to a stud against the Dodgers.
And then you look at this lineup, man. There's two guys hitting. Michael Effin Brantley and Carlos Correa. Nobody else is hitting.
Yeah.
George Springer yesterday is supposed to get the day off. He comes in, pinch hits, draws a walk, and then strikes out looking.
Springer's batting .048. That was our worst nightmare, and we talked about it before the first pitch of the season was even made. I was talking to you about, you know, such a streaky player. You got to hope he starts on the hot streak. Well, he didn't, and now, you know, here we are. Altuve's batting .174. Bregman's batting .174. Tucker, at least you can understand that a little bit more. He's batting .188. If it wasn't for Brantley right now and Yuli and Maldonado, for that matter, I don't know what would happen.
Quite honestly, if you ask me the most encouraging things, I would say, number one, Javier's performance, and we're 10% through the season.
Yes.
Number two, Carlos Correa looking young and healthy, slash Michael Brantley doing what he's doing. And number three, he looked chubby, and he was behind. Roberto Osuna looks all right. 3 scoreless innings so far, including
he's
2 yesterday.
He's not fat. Well, he's big.
He's looked like he's losing that weight very quickly. He's looking a little more trim. Roberto Osuna yesterday. You don't use your closer for 2 innings and lose games. That ain't like that's
right.
I know he had like an 8 pitch inning or whatever it was in the ninth. But when you use your closer 2 innings, you're going for the dub. And when that closer holds a man on second, no outs in the top of the 10th, and then you decide you're not going to bunt with your best bunter in Jose Altuve and set it up, and probably they would have walked Bregman, They would have walked Brantley, and that would have brought up Gurriel, bases loaded, one out, winning run on third. That's what they would have done, because the second and third doesn't matter, and
sure,
you get the fourth.
But that's
so that's
fine.
What they would have done. That's fine. Bases loaded. Yuli Gurriel at the plates.
Yeah.
One out. Dusty.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be Reaction Monday type-ish. Not reacting to Astros type-ish. Get it together, Dusty.
Okay, who's reporting it?
I'm reporting it.
Who?
Me. And the other thing is, I am glad, though, that he let my man battle yesterday and stay in there. I am glad that he at least let him stay in there and get out Mookie Betts before he brought in Taylor.
Yes. In that case, I would say yes. He was just electric.
Dusty,
I'm really
man.
Encouraged by him.
Dusty. Taylor's my guy. I think the Astros finally found a lefty. When's the last time they had a good lefty? I mean, Dallas
out of the pen? Out of the pen or a starter?
Out of the pen.
Ooh.
Yeah. Liriano was the only lefty in 2017. Even when they were good, they haven't had a lefty. I think a lot of these guys are starters, though. That's the other thing about these bullpen arms.
Yeah.
I think Belak's eventually going to be a starter, who you saw a couple days ago straight from the minor league buffet table to the bigs. I think Taylor might be a starter. I'm not sure. I mean, they pitched him 2 1/3 yesterday.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think they have him penciled in for that role.
All right, he might be like a long relief lefty then.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think that's where they got him.
I think
that's
a
where
lot of these guys will be starters.
For.
A lot of these guys will be starters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no question.
And by the way, J-Lo, no retaliation yesterday. No retaliation.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, to be honest.
On that?
I was a little surprised.
You think we see Yordan next week?
No. Well, I mean, we might see him, but I mean, I don't think they're going to have him ready for a game yet.
I think Yordan comes back next week. Well, actually, I think they're going to wait till they return home. I think that would I don't think they're going to put him on a plane. So I think Yordan comes back their next home game. I think we'll see Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. So we'll see a little Yordan next time they return home. I predict he's going to be in the lineup, which, my goodness, how nice is that going to be?
Come on now. Especially the way when Tucker's showing himself not to be able to be ready yet. This is – talk about blown opportunities. This was golden for him. And especially with him not really, you know, taking off or getting on a hot streak, to have Yordan back is going to be huge, man.
Yeah, Yordan's going to be back. It's amazing, man, because a few years ago, and this is just the flukiness of baseball prospects, we're talking about Big Tuck, we're talking about Forrest Whitley, and we're seeing – a lot of young arms on display, and we're wondering when Kyle Tucker's going to be replaced by Yordan Alvarez, but we didn't even know who he was a couple years ago, really.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere.
Absolutely nuts, John. But you know what? It's all good, because we get to
kind of like Christian Javier.
Christian Javier, my guy. God, he pointed to the sky good, too. Some guys just point to the sky better. That was a good point to the sky. That was like Chris Carter-esque point to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he really was appreciative of God in that moment.
Oh, no question. Oh, for sure.
He was not going through the motions. Javier felt the point to the sky.
Exactly.
He felt it. Some people just point better to the sky. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did his thing. All for nothing, though. I would have rather lost 14-2 than that. I didn't want to use the pen. Dusty kicked me in the junk.
Just so many things about that game, man, that you used Osuna for two. You wasted that start.
Mm.
You know, your guys are not hitting and still had a chance to win.
Mm.
Golly, that hurts.
Hurts. But you know what? It is what it is. 3-3.
Tomorrow's another day.
Still tied for first. 10% through the season. Final 90% is going to be fun. We'll have the post game tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we're going to hear from Jack and Bill. Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien, 11 o'clock. We will hear what they have to say about the Houston Texans.
That's going to be great.
41 days away from the start of the season tomorrow. Going to be interesting to hear what they got to say. I'm sure they're going to talk about hand sanitizer and cleaning stuff. We might need to make a game. We might need to make like a bingo card. No, for real, we need to make this fun for the loopholes.
Things that they say?
Yeah, J-Lo, put together a bingo card for tomorrow.
I'll see what I can do.
Put together a bingo card.
It'll be kind of good times.
Yeah. Let's have a bingo card for this. Maybe like 9 spots, me, you, and Figgy. you have 27 phrases, and we have a draft, and whoever has the most phrases wins the bingo game.
All right. So that sounds like fun.
27.
27 things or phrases.
27 things or phrases. Bingo, we're going to have a draft.
All right.
I'm excited.
I already got a couple coming to mind.
Yeah, just start putting them on. We'll get it going. Loopholes can play along as well. You can pick which card you want. We'll have some fun listening to Easterby and B.O.B. tomorrow on Football Friday. For the OG John Lopez, thank you very much to Adam Spillane for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Dusty, please don't disappoint me no more. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Hughley are next.
Smiles would die too soon. Days were filled with friends.
Thank you, Figgy.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.